Welcome to the Table for Two edition of the Deliberate Talks podcast, and I'm your host, Dakshin Adyantaya, introducing you to a fresh series of dialogues that promise you to enliven in and challenge our career paradigms. In today's episode, we discuss the confluence of a landscape where imagination blends with progressive edge invention to reshape our traditional learnings. So buckle up for a journey through the digital frontier with Saloni Shukla. Saloni is an accomplished artist, researcher, and creative technologist with over 18 years of experience in the media and entertainment industry. She's currently the founder and director at SASMAS Ventures and a creative technologist, researcher, and a faculty member at Whistling Woods International. In our conversation today, we wield the tools of tomorrow to craft the realities of today with emerging media. All this and more right after this intro.
This is the Deliberate Talks weekly podcast, powered by the Pixelated Egg Digital Ventures.
And we are back. Hello, Saloni. Thank you for making time for the show. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. Thank you, Dakshin.
Amazing. So on that note, I'm going to also start the dialogue on a very light note with a warm-up question asking you if Saloni had an AI bot, what would it be called?
Oh, no. Okay. If I had an AI bot. Well, wow, that's a great question. If I had an AI bot, it would probably be called my Instagram handle name itself, my pet name, which is Salu, S-A-L-O-U. Uh-huh. So maybe my bot also would be called Salu, the bot.
Amazing. I just like how you integrated your Instagram handle to the conversation.
But that's the whole next step, right? We're moving from there to the next level. Might as well just extend that reality into another reality.
Absolutely. Amazing. On that note, so now that we are all prepped up and ready for our first round of questions, if we start with asking you as a creative technologist, how have you seen the trend of merging art, technology, and culture evolve over the years?
Right. So the thing is, the use of technology in art is not something new. The use of technology and integration with our culture is not something new. Right from 1960s with John Whitney using computers to make digital art, right? Starting from there to so many other people just using digital techniques as a mixed medium to kind of communicate within their art and also within our culture. Right from the time, like, I think digital clocks have come into existence. We have been very integrated with technology. A lot of our life kind of is triggered with technology. You know, I always say this while doing my lectures, that something as simple as a Casio watch on your wrist, you know, can trigger so many things. Just by setting an alarm with two beeps, your brain kind of is now trained to wake up and, you know, forcefully or unforcefully, but continue and start your day. So to say that technology is not a part of our lives is something that in today's day and age would be a very silly thing to say, because I feel we are all governed by technology. Our lives are run by technology. And its integration with art and other fields, for example, in the field of filmmaking, fashion, you know, has been so rampant in the last few years. There have been fashion designers like Virgil Abloh and companies like Uniqlo and Nike's, you know, who are heavily investing in digital art and digital technology. With the era of gaming coming in, digital technologies became a part of our life. With phones coming in, digital technology has been part of our life. So technology only evolves. Its intersection with our culture, society, art, and life is not something new. And it's a very seamless integration that exists with humans and technology, you know, which in the last few years has been a little more vocal. We've started talking about it since, you know, the lockdown happened and the pandemic hit. Because we started using technology so much more, hybrid systems so much more, you know, FaceTiming, Zoom calls, et cetera, et cetera. To say that now it's a necessity, right, would be more wise. Rather than the integration part of it. The integration has happened right from the time of communication. You know, the Industrial Revolution, since then itself, there's so many new things that happen that run the world commercially, you know, and on a society level. Yes. So I hope that kind of answers that technology is not a very different part from us. It's a part of our life now.
Right. And when did you realize, at what point of time you realized that this is a part of your life?
Well, I think for me and my generation, so actually, to be honest, I was one of those kids who was always very technologically inclined. I would bunk lectures and go sit in my computer science room to, you know, write HTML codes with my computer teachers, because that's what we were learning that time in school.
Right.
Or maybe go play Dave, you know, which was an MS-DOS game back in the day.
Yeah.
So I was one of those kids who was always very intrigued with the computers. And I think luckily I was privileged enough to have a computer at home very early, internet at my house very early. So I think for me, it was when I was in school, maybe the fifth standard or sixth standard, that I realized that this is something that I have to make a part of my life and my whole daily activity. Like, I would come back from school and, you know, sit on the computer. And I think I remember that time television had started showing some international shows. And there was the Small Wonders that used to happen on TV, right?
True.
So that used to be really interesting for me. And just the whole thing of how a computer can one day become a robot was always in my head, you know. I had robots as a kid. I had video games as a kid. So I think it was my generation that adopted the early technology really soon, because it was also releasing at that point when we were really young. So I think I've always been very attached to technology. I mean, this. It's always been a thing for me. I'm always like grabbing onto things first.
Right. Interesting. Yeah. Very interesting. Now, just going to touch upon a conversation that you highlighted previously, which was on the filmmaking landscape as well, you know, integrating technology there and just adapting this conversation further. There's a term which is very relevant for you, which is emerging media. And, you know, for a lot of people who are now getting into a process where they want to understand new dimensions in career, emerging media is something that's been in the forefront, you know, from a lot of universities and education perspective. Can you walk us through a process of researching for emerging media? How did you identify new technologies of having, you know, a potential to have a significant impact in a filmmaking landscape or any career development perspective?
Right. So to start with, actually, let me clear some keywords which are very new to our ecosystem, right? Which have just emerged in the digital ecosystem recently. We were all aware of social media. We were all aware of hybrid came in, you know, the word hybrid came in.
Right.
And suddenly in the last few years, we've been listening to terms like creative technologist, emerging media, prompt engineering, AI, artificial intelligence, right? So the thing is, with the emergence of Web3, there's a whole new digital landscape that has evolved, a whole new digital ecosystem that has come into place, right? To be able to function in this new digital eco space and to also address new technology, there are a bunch of new terms that came in, like emerging technologies, which led to emerging media, right? Media, say till social media, OTT, right? And now we have a different medium of viewing things. Up until now, we were looking at things very 2D, right? The way we were looking at finance, which was a digital finance, very differently. There's a whole new digital finance ecosystem that's come in with cryptocurrencies, NFTs, the blockchain existing, right? And around that, also the way we consume our content has changed a lot. The way we exchange content has changed a lot. Back in the day, we would send packets. Now we send tokens, right? So a lot is changing in the digital ecosystem, in the back end and the front end itself. So to address what emerging media actually is the process of making content and creatives for the newer technologies, right? Creating the media for new technologies. Now, if I were to mention the newer technologies that exist, some of them would be technologies like augmented reality, virtual reality. We are working in motion capture, performance capture, virtual production. Right. Then there is the whole AI landscape, the Web3 blockchain landscape. Gamification is a new term that has come into this landscape. Right. And then there is, of course, NFTs, blockchain, that entire gamut of trades that we are talking about. Robotics is playing an important role in this. The STEM learning system is playing a very important role in this. The way we are communicating is changing, you know. Back in the day, social media was something that we were referring to. Now there's a whole gamut of new social media apps, right? So like you see, there are these newer integrated technologies which are being built for the Web3 landscape, right? And now we have to create content for it, much like when YouTube came in. I remember I just graduated from film school, and from films, now, you know, short format content was something that we were looking at. We had an option to create that. Then came in the OTTs. So then we knew, okay, this is another avenue to kind of share media and communicate and exchange media. Much like that, now we have many more avenues coming up because the systems of viewing technology is changing, right? Newer viewing glasses are coming in. Augmented reality allows you to view content differently. Holographic displays and holographic projections allow you to absorb content differently. So there is someone in this whole ecosystem. There are new categories of, job profiles that have now come into action. People who will now act as certain members of creating the workflow. New workflows have come into fashion, right? Emerging technologies was, it is so new, right? There is no curriculum, which is a consistent curriculum that exists around the world. There are no universities that are giving a sort of diploma or degree. The curriculum infrastructure is still being built around the education system for these new media technologies, right? So to be able to train yourself, the only avenue in the last couple of years had been either you throw yourself in that industry, right? Experience it by making mistakes. That's how we also promote a lot of young kids. We tell them, listen, don't worry. Just take up the technology. See what material is available online, which has been done, you know, using this technology. Look at research papers by people who made the technology. That will give you some insights of it. Because this new ecosystem is so autonomous and so young, there's a lot of sharing and free sharing that's happening. So there's a lot of open source of information that's available right to us. So the only way to actually experience this, and it's so exciting right now, because for anybody who wants to break through, right? There is no teacher as such. There is no mentor as such. The greatest people who are probably working, for example, say in the AI field, there's Rafiq Anadol, whose work itself is so new. He himself is experimenting. A company like Meta, right? When it is releasing its AI softwares and tools, it is calling it an experiment, right? It's calling it a social experiment. So we are at such a brink of, you know, it's such a tipping point right now. And it's so exciting that anyone can get into it and anyone can train themselves, right? Luckily for me, that when my interest started with the emerging technologies, it was the lockdown. There were a few online courses available from America and UK and Australia and a bunch of other countries that were already a bit ahead of us in the emerging media space. I could access those online, right? Because virtual training was accepted during that time. So I got lucky there. It still is very accepted. In fact, it's flourishing even more, the hybrid system of learning, right? So I think for anybody who wants to break into this, to term yourself a creative technologist, to term yourself a prompt engineer, these are very new careers, right? Creative technologist is nobody but a creative person like me who has experience in various creative fields or formats. To understand newer, latest and the most emerging technologies and see how you create the media for it, right? Experiment with the beta versions. Most tools are at a testing level right now. So that's what we do as creative technologists. We explore the tools. We explore technologies. We see how to integrate them in various artistic endeavors. For example, to create art, to create fashion, to exploit and disrupt various creative endeavors, whether it's communication, mass media, you know, how are we dealing with these? For example, in the space of VR, how are we dealing with humanities, right? How are we dealing with human connect in a VR format? That's what a creative technologist does example, right? So there are these new avenues that have opened up, which are very interesting in this space. Yes.
I agree. So just carrying on this conversation, the fact that you have to be updated as even a researcher or a faculty. How do you update yourself with newer technologies? Let's talk about that. You know, in terms of while researching and everything is new for everyone, it's an open book. It's also about staying ahead in the game, right? Whoever identifies that new version or the update which is coming for any technology or platform. How do you, as an individual look at updating yourself with this kind of research?
Right. So my morning starts with Google News, to be honest. Mm-hmm. I mean, I literally have to sit and you know, different keywords, latest news in VR, latest news in AR, latest news in augmented reality. So first you have to also know outlets of these technology, like how are your audiences connecting and what's mm-hmm. happening in that space, trends that are leading in that space is very important. So I listen to a lot of trainers from NYU and UCLA. Because they are very, they are much ahead of us in their approach to in adopting the technology and also discussing technology. So that helps. Luckily, I work in an emerging media lab, and we are connected and through Whistling Woods International, the film school that I teach in and I work mm-hmm. in. We have an emerging media lab which is headed by Mr. Chaitanya Chinchalkar, who is also a leading technologist and. He, in fact, is working. He's one of the pioneers in the industry where it comes to media technologies. And he's been talking about it for years. He is a member of SMPTE, which is an American committee. We are all members at various levels, but he's at a senior committee member level. So the dialogue happens very easily between the West and the East for us, right? And then when you talk about the East, then there is Japan, which has and China, which have even exceeding technologies, which are way ahead, Korea, right? South Korea. You have all these countries which are really doing path-breaking content work and technological work. You have to be tapped in to where it's happening. For example, I'm always researching on how fashion is adopting latest technologies. The fashion industry is a big disruptor of technology. And when I say disruptors, it's these artists and, you know, creators who exploit technology for their purposes. So technology is usually made for different purposes, and then artists and creators step in and use it for their own creations, right? For example, to say that augmented reality or virtual reality was initially always, or any technology for that matter, is initially always released in the medical industry or in automobile, right? Mm-hmm. But very rarely do they release a technology specifically for artists. Okay, now that, you know, let's create this new multi-million technology that artists can disrupt. It's artists who go into that space and they pull out, you know, small cameras or a new AI tool and then plug the two and see what they can do when you, you know, mix a camera with an AI tool and a phone or a computer and a language, which is a code language. It's the artists who are doing these things. It's the artists who are disrupting the technology. So coming back to your question, how I do my research, I'm looking at a lot of artists. I'm looking at the news. I surround myself with this through the day. You know, you immerse yourself in this. So you have to be, you have to keep having these conversations with people who know more than you, I feel. Okay. Yeah. Which is also you. I really look at your videos and there's always so much new to learn, you know, from the conversations you are having. So thank you for doing this. This is amazing for a lot of people who want input or an inlet into various areas in this new digital ecosystem. So thank you.
Right. So, you know, it's as equal and exciting as how you as a personality are, right? You love exploring things. You love being a part of conversations, which kind of excite you. You know, this is the same process that I have when I meet artists and creative technologists like you. A conversation like this, which is new to the ears, kind of help in terms of also exploring and building something new completely from the chaos which already exists right now for a digital marketer like me, with new trends coming in, with new platforms coming in, that's a great conversation. That's everyone's aware of that. But a new avenue like a creative technology coming into the picture and then integrating it with digital marketing is where my interest lies.
Amazing.
And hence this is the most amazing conversation at this point of time. Anyone talking about AI or design integration with AI or even content for that fact has taken us in the last 1 year phenomenally ways ahead from where we used to be as a, you know, as simple as a conversation in terms of saying, what's the content trend for 2023? We even didn't, you know, have a conversation about AI being integrated in our daily lives so much that it's become a necessity more than anything else, you know, in that process.
Absolutely. Like I know of workforce people, students, who earlier were so intimidated to kind of create things or write, and now are doing a very good job with assistance, you know. So using the tools and then How do you kind of have that conversation? You know, I always talk about people are so afraid of that AI conversation and what it is going to do and, you know, what are these new things? I'm like, but if you don't talk about it, how are you going to know? It's us who has to talk about it. It's the society that has to take that autonomy. It's people in various fields like yourself, me, who have to push this conversation further so that we can, you know, investigate it further, find new things, you know, discover new things. That's, I think, a generation like ours needs to do that now. And it's happening. True. It's happening with a good few folks like you, I feel. Yes.
Wonderful. And now I'm going to touch upon this AI prompt bit, you know, because like you mentioned, as much as intimidating it is, it's also very fascinating when you come across job profiles on LinkedIn. A lot of people look at it and say, wow, that's like a high level package for something that didn't even exist a year and a half ago. And now people are ready to pay a bomb for you having that knowledge, which also comes back to this conversation of ours in terms of upgrading ourselves timely to understand new technologies.
Right.
Can you explain what AI prompt engineering is and how is it changing the narrative in content creation or job fronts today? Why is it so much in demand?
Sure. So to put it in a very flowery word, I think an AI prompt engineer is a good essay writer, is a good communicator, right? And before I start talking about AI, I just want to kind of, you know, go back and look at how the AI mentality works. What is the artificial infrastructure, right? How is it responding to us, right? And what is the human conversation or communication that happens with the AI, right? So, of course, we all know AI is the machine learning system, and there are various formats and the ways that the machine learns. There are languages that exist. There are neural networks that exist, much like the brain, where the machine is constantly absorbing data, right, and creating and generating new data. And with the cloud system coming in, there is innumerous space now that exists around to kind of save the big data, to use it for regenerative purposes, but to kind of also understand how we are connecting with the AI, right? What are our needs and where are we using these tools, right? Mm-hmm. Most often I've realized it's either to communicate where we are falling short, right? To visually communicate either by audio, video, or text, correct?
Right.
These are the areas where we are using AI predominantly. So in this case, to be able to access the mind of the AI, right? We as human beings, not everyone is capable to code. Not everyone is capable of programming, right? So the way these AI tools are made, they, and because it's a business, right? They are trying to engage as many people as they can to, at a beta level, engage with them to create that content, right? To be able to generate that data that they need to understand humanity better, to understand human requirements better. So I always say this as a mock, that we work as free data workers for ChatGPT. Yeah, that we nonstop are looking for answers on ChatGPT, where we are going and letting ChatGPT get into our minds and further understand our minds. But for a prompt engineer, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a job that is a very specific job, much like a designer, much like a content writer, much like a marketing person. Right. There is a certain requirement that you need, right? You A, need to understand what is the output you're looking to get from a computer at an optimum pace, right?
Mm-hmm.
The idea is all these tools that exist in the emerging media landscape today are time machines. If we are not treating them like time machines, if they're going to eat up our time and they're not saving us time, then there is no point to use that tool in the first place, right? Might as well use the tools that are traditional. Take a pen and a paper and write, and take a crayon or a blank paper and draw, right? But the idea is efficiency, right? And to be able to get that efficiency out of the computer, out of a machine, right? Out of a GPU that we now use. There are certain, shortcuts. There are certain commands. There are certain standard prototype communication techniques that one uses, right? A prompt engineer, depending on the tool they are using, trains themselves with such techniques, right? Using normal language, which is normal English text, or a language, maybe Italian or Malayalam or Tamil or Marathi or Hindi, because now AI tools are robust enough to understand various languages also.
Correct.
The prompt engineer kind of creates a command, right, in regular language, using a few short words, short codes and keywords to get an optimal output from the machine. Whether you're looking at getting a text-based output, which is maybe generating a story or generating an email, right, or doing some sort of research content work, right? When it comes to images, to get a certain look of the image, the style of the image, the tone and color scheme of the image, right? When it's a video or an audio, to get the right tonality. Most tools have these embedded shortcuts, right? So a prompt engineer trains themselves to be efficient communicators with the machine to be able to get the right content out. That's how I would put it. Like you're saying, yes, there are a lot of these, there's a lot of noise around newer AI, artificial intelligence based careers, right? Also, I feel like a lot of it is hyped to create that buzz, right? I don't think no prompt engineer who's not done well as a maybe a digital marketer or a social media manager or has those kind of skill sets which entail writing good essays or paragraphs and explaining things visually well, you know, understanding the nuances of language. Anyone who doesn't have those skills, I don't think if they just call themselves prompt engineers by knowing a few short codes will get paid so much, right? You have to have certain creative or how do you say marketing or certain kind of acumen even before you become a prompt engineer. Not necessarily a coding or an engineering-based background per se, like a great flourishing career as a writer. I feel writers are the best converters into prompt engineers in the future, right? Vocalists, people who can speak well, speakers, you know, conversationalists. These are the kind of people who will be able to translate better as prompt engineers, I feel. Kind of sum it up, yeah, that's the prompt engineering space for you.
Makes sense. Yes. You know, there's that popular meme, right, which says, need 10 years of experience in AI prompt engineering.
But the
perfect answer to that meme as well is every day spent with technology or AI feels like a year or two already, right?
Absolutely.
It's so upgrading so fast.
Absolutely. The discoveries we have while using apps like, you know, Llama or even like using ChatGPT or Midjourney, right? And then when you sit and compare the kind of generative data that's coming out from each machine, it's so interesting to see a mind in the machine, you know, to see a very distinctive way of dealing with your requests, you know. It's very interesting. I love it. The whole day goes in this only.
Awesome. So then I'm going to touch upon this part again. And, you know, any specific project where you've successfully integrated all these technologies, or say immersive experiences or AI, which you're very proud of, one. And two, what were the challenges and wins while doing this project?
Which I am very proud of. Well, to be honest, I'm loving my skills in my augmented reality space. I think I'm doing a decent enough work there with artists where I'm helping artists use certain tools, use certain techniques to augment reality, their work. We are currently working on an AI film where we have generated the entire text, the entire script on using AI tools. The images are right now being generated by AI. And then we are using technologies, we're interlinking technologies like motion capture and performance capture with AI-created technologies to create something where still images can have some sort of animation and facial features and be able to talk seamlessly. Right. So because it's a project that's under wraps, I can't talk about it much. But we worked on some really good stuff. The team always is creating interesting stuff. There is the Kumbh Mela that the team shot, which I'm very proud of. Every time I watch it, it looks like a very hard job done at the Kumbh Mela with the virtual reality camera, because it's, you know, you are in a wild space with these expensive equipments and you're really, you know, trying to get the most optimal and the most pleasing shot. And you're standing in -2 degrees temperature in the Ganga, you know. So those are hard conditions to create content with new technology. But we are also looking at seamlessly integrating virtual production in commercial media, right? In ads, etc., etc. So that's something that I'm really proud of. But to be honest, what I'm really proud of is the fact that we are, as a school, in the school and with our associations, I am being able to lead the curriculum creation part of it, which is, I think, something very unique, and it's going to be path-breaking for the country. Very rarely are media schools, there are no media schools that are investing so heavily into promoting emerging media technologies. I'd say Whistling Woods is the pioneer in it, right? And to be associated with the school and be able to do that kind of work there is really interesting. It's to be able to see how am I going to take the AI dialogue, not only to schools which are privileged, but also to local schools, right? When you look at this dialogue, there are, if you look at the just a difference between what's happening in the world today, there are schools which are A-level schools and, you know, great, good, amazing schools with good students and, you know, people who can afford things, right? And there is a dialogue which is so robust about emerging technologies and the use of emerging media. And then there are schools which are government schools or lesser privileged schools where students are interested. They have heard about it from, you know, their news, and they also have access to social media or from their parents, but they've never experienced it firsthand, right? So the idea is to take technology onto the roads and have the youth experience it firsthand, and youth of all categories. And I can't even divide the youth. The youth is the youth, right?
Yeah.
You have to be able to reach out to everyone. Everyone needs to have this experience, and everyone needs to have this conversation. So to kind of maybe level that is the challenge, and that's what I'm working for with the curriculums that I'm doing, the workshops that I'm doing, you know, with different kinds of people. So I did a workshop over the weekend with NGO kids, with, you know, local school kids, government school kids, and it was so much fun because for them it was magical. It was a world they had never seen. To see something so up close in VR gave them chills and goosebumps, you know, to see that. I think that is my achievement, and that is a great moment. Yes. If I can create that wow moment for everyone, that's the idea.
It is. It's fabulous stuff that you're doing, Saloni.
Thank you.
And I'm going to wrap this round with that note and move on to a rapid fire round.
Oh my God, I'm so scared for this. Okay. Okay.
We take this conversation to the next level with some grilling of Saloni Shukla. And are you ready for this?
Yeah, okay. Why not? My students do this all the time to me, so I think I'm confident enough.
Right then, in 60 seconds, 5 of your favorite tools, platforms that you encourage people to experiment with when it comes to AI or experiences.
Okay, so I use Llama a lot. I use Midjourney to create images a lot. I use Synthesia to create a lot of audio work. There is Beethoven that I use for music very often, which creates really great music. And the fifth one. So Canva has come out with AI also. And I love using Canva to create my PPT. So I would suggest Canva.
Super. Okay. Yeah. In 50 seconds, 3 newsletters, personalities or podcasts you would recommend people to follow for all the learnings on emerging technologies or AI.
Oh, wow. This is tough. You have 3 asking. First of all, you, Dakshin, I think people should listen to you. There's so much that you're talking about nowadays that is really interesting. There is Sainat Bovell. She is an American speaker, and she talks a lot about how AI is affecting our society and culture. In fact, she's with the UN, and she talks a lot about ethics, and she's really interesting to watch. And, So there is a friend of mine, Prarag Mittal. He doesn't do podcasts, but he does these interesting shows, which I like to follow. He works very closely with Rafiq Anadol, and he's a professor at the UCLA. So I like to follow him to keep myself updated with what's happening in the AI world, and also, you know, with artists confluencing with technologies, yes. So the 3 of y'all are my favorites.
I like how you took my name to buy time for thinking for the other 2.
Not days. Really. You are. I mean, that's how we connected, right? I was a fan and I was fangirling around your content, and then we got in touch, and it's been great, yeah. And I am. So, hey.
Awesome. Okay, then. In 40 seconds, name a technology that doesn't exist yet, but you would love to be a pioneer of.
Okay, so there is the mind mapping and mind reading technology, which is working, which is existing actually, but it's not fully developed. It's where you use your, where there is a machine, you wear it as a band. It uses the pulses of your subconscious and just the lower lobes, right? And based on that, it takes decisions that your mind would take, right? Something which allows the mind to be a lot like Professor X, where your mind can control a lot more things. Yes, so that's a technology that I would give my life to make a technology like that right away and get it introduced as soon as possible.
Wonderful.
Yes.
Okay, in 30 seconds, what's the most unusual source of inspiration you have had for a project?
Unusual source? You know, animals. Like, yeah, I look at animals. I mean, I feel like human beings always act so privileged and proud that we invented things and we are always inventing things. But I feel like, you know, when someone says, oh, I made the tunnel and I made a bridge and I, you know, did this knitting and all, I look at nature and I'm like, rats were making tunnels way before you. You know, there's the weaver bird that was weaving way before you. So I think nature is what inspires me the most. I love to stare at nature. Something as simple as to understand momentum. I just stare at the waves, you know, I love surfing. So just understanding how nature works is so much science in that itself. It's so technological in its own evolution, the energies of the planet. I feel that is where I take from a lot. So, yes.
Lovely. Lovely. Yes. Okay, in 20 seconds, if someone told you I'm too old for AI or new technologies, what would you typically tell them?
I would tell them, buddy, me too. Me too, because I get FOMO every day. And trust me, this is what the tech companies are enjoying on your FOMO and YOLO levels. They are exploiting it. And to be honest, even I worry that I'm too old for technology. But then you just jump into it and things work out. And also, to be honest, I think I'm very inspired by the women in my family, my mom, my grandmom, who adapted and adopted technologies like WhatsApp and, you know, which didn't exist in their times. Like, just for them to learn Windows back in the day. I remember in the 90s, my mom picked up Windows so quick as a housewife, you know. And then it's so seamlessly that they function with it. And also what worries me is if I don't learn, I won't be able to communicate with the younger generation. So that's a bit of a worry for me, I think. And I understand that worry. So if someone says, hey, buddy, I'm with you. Yeah.
Okay, then. And finally, in 10 seconds, what's one piece of technology that's commonplace today, but you never thought, you know, would be a part of your daily life 10 years ago?
Instagram, social media. I really didn't think this was going to blow up like this. You know, I literally thought that it was going to be a campus app where we just make friends and forget about it and make like some stupid noise over there and go back home. But oh my God, it has become a lifestyle. And I'm just like, wow, I am surprised. And I'm like, wow, if it can do that, imagine giving autonomy to machines and what it could do with us, you know. So it's just wow. It's a wow.
True. Fabulous stuff there, Saloni. And that's a wrap. You did so well in this round, by the
way. Thank you.
Thank you so much for making time for this and teaching us something new today. I thoroughly enjoyed hosting you today. I hope you had a good time too.
Of course, I loved it. And thank you for having me. This actually is one of my first podcasts for Tech Talks. I've given live stage shows. I've done a lot of speaking work. But this is my first podcast. So thank you so much for letting me have this opportunity and, you know, talk about what I wanted to. So thank you.
Wonderful, wonderful. I'm glad it was your first talk and you enjoyed it. Thank you so much and wishing you nothing but the best, Saloni.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Sachin. You have a great one.
And with that, we come to the end of today's episode. Don't forget to subscribe to all the audio and video channels of Deliberate Talks podcast and Pixelated Egg Digital Ventures. Join me next week for a Table for One edition. Until then, be curious, be adventurous, and never stop learning. Cheers.